Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Hello and welcome to Ours to Protect. I'm really pleased that you've been able to listen in today to our seasonally powered programme. Because the weather does seem to be turning in a distinctly autumnal direction, it might be difficult to remember that not even a week passed, there were so many people out making the most of all the natural magnificence that the Northwest has by sampling some of the nature-based events that were on offer as part of Heritage Week. We were spoiled for choice across Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal with nature walks, beach walks, bog walks and boat trips to choose from. For those looking for a bit more depth, there were experts on bats, on dragonflies, choughs and pollinators willing to share their knowledge. And plant lovers had wildflowers, apple trees and invasive species to get stuck into. Huge praise is due to all the different enthusiasts, experts, community groups and educators who were good enough to put themselves out there and bring pleasure and wonder to the rest of us. The power of using this nature connection for healing was recognised also for Liquid Therapy in Rosneala, who are celebrating funding that's going to expand their surf therapy programmes, which use our beautiful coastline to foster personal development, social connection and environmental awareness among young people here. In further good news for South Donegal, September will also see the first steps in the building of the active travel route that's going to connect Ballyshannon with Bundoran. When it's complete, walkers and cyclists will have a continuous safe pathway between the two towns, which is sure to be well used. I am certainly looking forward to trying it out when the works are complete. It can't have escaped your notice that this week also saw most school children around the Northwest returning to the classroom. And with that September feeling definitely in the air, Ours to Protect is taking leaf out of their books this week and following them back to school. I thought it might be interesting to find out how topics around environment and sustainability are being brought into our classrooms and how our school students feel about them. In the process, I was delighted to discover that a handful of secondary schools in Sligo and Mayo are blazing a trail on environmental education by piloting a new Leaving Cert subject in climate action and sustainable development. And we're going to be hearing lots more about that later on. We'll also be hearing from a gaggle of different students from primary schools across County Sligo who have been helping to trial and develop a primary school workbook that uncover the concepts behind the Sustainable Development Goals in a telegraphic and direct way. But to start us off, I'm turning to a stalwart when it comes to environmental awareness and education programmes in Irish schools, one that has been featuring in primary and secondary schools across the country for over 25 years. You might remember that back in May, we met up with Green Schools Travel Officer Dolores McWeeny as she promoted National Bike Week in schools across the Northwest. This week, I caught up with her to find out a bit more about the Green Schools programme.
There's 18 flags from biodiversity, litter and waste, energy, global citizenship, travel, food and biodiversity, water and marine. There's, you name it, there's a flag for it. We have officers in green schools and they'd advise them and send out resources and they'd do workshops, seminars as well at the beginning of September. It's a two-year programme as well. Okay. So each school is on a flag for 2 years and then they move on to another flag. At the end they have an awards, so the schools are invited to a hotel and they get their green flag and they get a lovely sit-down dinner and they get their names in the paper and everything, and they're really excited about that, both primary and secondary schools. And it's a seven-step programme and the seven steps can be done throughout the 2 years. I think myself personally that the travel and biodiversity and marine, you can link it into a lot. Bring the learning home, you know, if your parents are into or working on a farm or into growing your own. Or we have 17 sustainable development goals and the students and the pupils and the teachers are very much part of it. With all the flags, you know, there's some great, great teachers there. Like, there's so much work being done.
With all that work being done in so many schools, An Taisce's Green Schools programme is an unqualified success story. It runs in an incredible 94% of schools across the country, with over 100,000 students involved. The experience of students in Carberry School in Sligo exemplifies how the programme works.
I'm in Carberry School and we have the travel flag, the waste flag and the water flag for Green Schools. Basically what we had to do was we had to write a letter saying why we want to be on the committee and what good we do on it. Our teachers went through them and they picked four kids. When we started out, I was in fifth class. There was a girl from fourth, a boy from third and another lad from second. It takes 2 years to get the flag. So you're on the committee for 2 years straight. Well, it's our job to promote whatever flag we're looking for. So in my case, it was the travel flag. So we had to promote sustainable travel and ways you can be healthier using travel. And we got our school bike stands and scooter racks for children who scoot or cycle to school. And we tried to promote like things like park and stride and walking from your house if possible, or like carpooling. We had Joan in from Sligo Cycling Campaign, who talked to everyone about like cycling safely and what Sligo Cycling Campaign does. We also had Tara from An Garda Síochána in, and she talked about how to cycle very safely and for like walking safely. I think the people in school were interested. We did surveys and more kids did actually start travelling more sustainably, because it was something you can do. Like, it's quite easy to do. I think in that regard that kids were really interested in trying it, you know, because even if you live far away, you can like park and stride, they could park at the bottom of the hill, walk up. And it was just a nice way for them to get some exercise.
And tell me about the water flag.
I remember we made posters on how to save water. There was loads of stuff we did in our classrooms. We had water monitors. So if, you know, there was a tap dripping or something like that, that they would tell the teacher. We had a water motto competition. It was, water is so very giving, it helps to keep your body living. Raise your voice, play your part and help keep Carberry water smart. We did walks by the river and we looked at the river and like if there was any pollution or the things living in the river. We did lots of activities on them. When we got the water flag, they brought it into the hall for assembly. And of course, remember we got our travel flag, which was really nice. We got to put it up in our hall and we got to say, you know, talk about it in front of our school and how we got it and what everyone did.
So do you think it's worthwhile doing something like this in schools?
Definitely. Like, really opens your eyes to like the environment. And by getting kids to start making habits in school, they start doing that at home and then the parents will start doing it and so on and so on. And then it'll make its impact eventually.
Sustainability is at the heart of all this activity. And in 2015, the UN encapsulated the principles behind sustainability in 17 global goals that countries across the world can use as a focus for achieving sustainable development. Over the past 2 years, scientist Yvonne Lang and the Power to Change programme has worked to make these understandable for children of primary school age, collaborating together with them to develop a workbook exploring real-world aspects of the SDGs. There was huge excitement at the launch of the completed workbook in the Clayton Hotel in Sligo.
And tell me about the Power to Change workbook. Did you do that in school?
Yes, we did. Yeah. We had to draw like pictures and they might be going into the books. So we're hoping that one of our class's pictures go in.
And did you enjoy doing it in school?
Yeah, we did. It's a very interesting subject. More like, you know, you have to learn more about it.
Yeah, you get more fun.
Yeah. It's a more hands-on subject sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Did you do some experiments as part of the workbook?
Yeah. I made this one where it would see how strong certain structures were. And you had to put jelly in a baking tray and make structures with marshmallows and toothpicks to see like how much turbulence the world could hold.
and billions, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the SDGs was food for all, and the experiment for that one was composting your food. So what me and one of my friends is, we had, it was soil, then leaves, and it was soil, then biodegradable food, such as fruit skins, and then it was food that is harder to biodegrade, such as pizza and burgers, and then there was plastic on top, and you could see how quickly each of them biodegraded and then which ones are good for composting.
And what was the result?
Well, the fruit skins were definitely the best ones, and it created very nice soil, but then the plastic, it actually takes hundreds of years for plastic to decompose, so we couldn't actually see any changes with the plastic.
Well, there was one thing, and you had to make your own paper, and you got newspaper and blended it all up in a blender, and then you had to get something and put it in a bowl and stick.
And what was the idea of that?
Not to cut down as many trees. So
how about you?
Well, we also made things to manage the weather, and one of them was a barometer, and you could make it by like cutting a bottle in half, and if you put clean film on top and a straw on top of the clean film, you could use a card on the side to see how high it goes, and the hotter it gets, the higher the clean film will rise, and then the colder it gets, the lower it will go down.
With the hot air?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I found it interesting when I was looking through the pages of the workbook with the children to see how experiments and ideas based around the natural world really fired their imaginations.
We had to like draw stuff, and like we were learning about like the beecomb icons. We like made like what they look like out of like the old toilet rolls. We got to see like this like starfish. It was like upside down.
The telescope that you could see, and then we had to draw what we seen. The insects, and they looked huge in it, of course. So that was fun. So
they were showing like how the mirrors, like you can see through the mirrors, and they show like how things you see through them.
What was your favourite thing in the workbook?
Well, helping others and like filling in the stuff and doing it out.
Well, one of the SDGs was about helping our environment, and the experiment was about bees. And the bees do this thing called a bee dance, where they like dance away to signal to their mates that they're there. And they also use flowers to collect the pollen, and we learned about all that.
And there was also this one about helping each other out, and there's a bird that picks out the crocodile's teeth, all the food in his mouth, and then the bird, in exchange, the bird gets the food out of the crocodile's teeth.
And also, there's this bird that goes on the rhinoceros' back, and it eats all the parasites, and in return, the bird screeches for the rhino if there's danger.
And we also did how butterflies turn into butterflies, and about how they get the pollen out of flowers. We did a wormery. It went good, yeah. A few died and a few lived. We had it like a square, and then we could see how the worms go into the ground and how they make holes and everything.
We also got butterflies, and we got them in caterpillars, and we watched them, and they turned into a chrysalis, and then when they came out of the chrysalis, they were turned into butterflies, and they were the painted lady ones.
How about you?
I made one which was about how bees see, but I used masking tape instead of clear tape. Oh, so.
But you did learn something about it.
Yeah, well, it shows how bees see different to humans. Well, they see purpler than how we see it, like all colour.
Last one.
Well, there was one last SDG called about gender discrimination, and we learned that for most animals and us, what happens is the lady gives birth, but for seahorses the male actually gives birth and the woman does most of the like hunting for food, so the roles are kind of reversed.
So how did the children feel about contributing to the process of developing a resource that might be used by their peers in classrooms far and wide?
We have a scrapbook and a workbook, and we get to design the scrapbook, and when we go back to Yvonne and give her our books, she like take some of our ideas we wrote into it, and she might put them in the workbook for other classes and stuff.
Some people in our class or in other schools, they mightn't understand the words that are being said in the chapters of the book. I like that I can design it, and like if I make a comic strip in the book, that will be in the book. It's really cool.
Yeah, the experiments are cool, yeah. It's cool how like we're pretty much making the book, and then like there's going to be classes using that book to learn that we made.
Dov Wimbish is a researcher at ATU Sligo with a background in education.
You want to get the kids excited about what we're doing here. You want to get them excited about climate change, about, you know, actually being involved in their own future. And when they're doing something and they're actually doing it with their hands and it's activity-based, then it's a skill that they learn for lifelong. So we're fostering a lifelong love of the climate, a lifelong involvement in their world. Earlier, you asked the question, does anyone in this room know what biodiversity is? Every single child in this room lifted their hand. It was amazing. And I don't know that you could say that in other places in the world, that you asked that question, and everyone in the room, all the children will raise their hands. It's incredible, it's wonderful, and I think it's absolutely necessary part of the curriculum. It's absolutely got to be project-based. It's absolutely got to be hands-on. It's absolutely got to be kids out working in the environment, sort of like what we're doing here today. And the kids are actually getting their hands in the soil, and that is important. We're not just learning in one way. We're learning by hearing, by seeing, by smelling, all of our senses. And when you learn something with all of them put together at the same time, you learn it deeply.
My name's Keelan Hart. I'm a student in ATU. I'm doing mechanical engineering.
Keelan has also been involved with the education strand of the Power to Change programme. He weighed in on a challenge to produce a resource for older students that would get them thinking about sustainability in just the kind of way that Dove recommends.
It's really difficult to make a board game. I kind of thought, okay, well, let's rejig Monopoly. Use a different currency, maybe have some carbon credits or something, but that's been done 5 or 6 other times, kind of bored, so I said, let's make it more so about Sligo and, you know, the surrounding areas. I was kind of researching some other games, and it's a mashup of like Catan Energies, a couple of other little climate change. I actually have it on my presentation. I'm going to be speaking about them. There's 4 players. I wanted to make them as different as I could. So I thought a farmer, a politician, a builder, and a scientist.
And the idea is that they are going to cooperate to solve
so
the issues?
Yeah, this is a cooperative game rather than, it's not that the builder is against the farmer. Okay. They're all trying to work together to beat the game, so there's 5 rounds. At the end of the 5th round, you have to have all the issues solved or else you lose the game. The goal is to try and get all of the issues solved, save Sligo. I ran a competition with the grammar to name the game. So this came from the grammar students, and there's a lot of artwork in there you'll see on the slides that came from them as well. I haven't implemented many of their ideas because I want to get more feedback again today.
And the cards look great.
Thank you.
Tell me about some of the issues that are on the game.
So they're all here. I was looking into a lot of the issues, and some of them are Sligo based, some of them are kind of global. I wanted a bit of a range as well. So around the world, unfiltered stormwater is being released into waterways filled with exhaust particles and litter from the streets. So if you stand, you can actually see this in Sligo, if you stand where Anderson's used to be, and you look across the river, you can see a big pipe going down. That is the stormwater drains from the road. Mm-hmm. And all the little exhaust particles, especially when it's wet, they fall down onto the road, and then they make their way into the water. And there's no filters or anything, it's just a pipe going into the river. So there are filters available that can filter out, you know, bits of litter, exhaust particles, things like that. So that's one of the issues. Then if we look, what's another good one? Oh, so I have some stuff here about vertical farming methods. So in a lot of the Scandinavian countries, they grow their crops up the way in what's called hydroponic farming. So I have, one of the issues is developing that. Then for the builder, we have some issues relating to construction of sustainable homes, refugee accommodation, student accommodation. And then we have the scientist card. That card focuses around some habitat protection, invasive species, zebra mussels, rhododendron. Rhododendron, I actually never knew before this project was such a big issue. I thought it was just the pretty pink flower you see everywhere.
Keelan's game was being trialled at the event by Transition Year students from Sligo Grammar School, Summerhill College in Sligo, and Gartner Abbey in Cross Malina. I wondered if they'd picked up on the issues while playing the game. Like the primary school students, their views are being fed back into the development of the resource.
Well, we got to maybe the second round. I like how it gives the place names, you know, so you have an idea about where you are. And I like the concept of it, if you know what I mean. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, we've got the hang of it now, yeah. This is our third one now.
It's definitely informative, I suppose. It'll help you understand like the issues in Ireland right now.
We were the builders and we had to fix the erosion in the beach and we ran out of money.
I played as the farmer, but I've also played as the politician and scientist before. But I'd say some of them might be a bit tougher in real life, yeah.
I didn't know about certain things on this, I didn't really know most of it, so yeah.
The cards, I do like them, like they're nice pleasant colours. I think the pastel sort of colours are nice. I like the simplicity of the board, but like I feel like it's just a bit too simple. Maybe something more recognisable, so that if it does become famous, you could like recognise it instantly.
I enjoyed the game, but it got a bit complicated with all the different consequences.
Yeah, I thought it was good, like some of the issues like I wouldn't have heard of before or whatever, so yeah, things like that.
A good perspective view of what people have to deal with, like what jobs they have to do, you know.
Well, look, this board game is a great idea. It's better than like other ideas, it's just like posters or something, you know. Like playing a game about it, you kind of know it's there, you're focusing on it, so I think it helps like that. Yeah, like I've known about like a couple of the like stuff on the cards, but a couple others I haven't known. Like I didn't know about this one about the Japanese knotweed. It's growing like, it's a growing epidemic in the west and southwest of the country. It suffocates our natural flora and fauna species as well.
How did the kids react to it?
Oh, they loved it. There's a lot of issues there that they saw that they were like, well, we never heard about this before. Where the idea for a game came from, well, there's a pyramid and you have reading at the top and you have teaching to others at the bottom, and it's to do with information retention. So it's the more senses, the more parts of your body, the more interactive you are with something, the more you remember. So you're sitting in a lecture hall, there's a lecturer talking at the front, it's going in here and out here. Whereas this, you're using your hands, you're talking, you see it, you hear it, you can feel the cards. It's more interactive, there's more staying in. And that's really what I wanted to get from the game. And I was delighted when the kids validated that for me.
This kind of hands-on education really gives students an opportunity to engage with the ideas around sustainability, which can often seem complex or remote in a tangible way. And the intention is to build a real connection and a lifelong interest in topics among young people. This September, these three secondary schools in the Northwest are also at the cutting edge in terms of environmental education, as the new subject of climate action and sustainable development is set to make its way onto the Leaving Cert examinations timetable for the very first time in June 2027.
Yeah, so I'm Alan Moore. I'm teaching in Summerhill College. I've been teaching here for about 10 years. I teach biology and ag science and science mostly, and just started teaching the climate action and sustainable development. So my background, I have a degree in environmental science, and that's kind of how I got interested in that that topic.
I'm Deborah Moore. I'm teaching in Sligo Grammar School. So I teach geography, climate action and sustainable development, and I'm the Green Schools Coordinator in the school.
Summerhill College, Sligo Grammar School and Gartner Abbey are the only schools in the Northwest that will be offering the subject to their Leaving Cert Cycle students that are entering fifth year this September, because they were lucky enough to be among only 40 schools nationwide specially selected to pilot the subject. For Alan and Deborah, introduction of this Leaving Cert subject of climate action and sustainable development reflects the importance of environment, climate and sustainability to the Ireland of the future. And having official recognition of this brings the fact home to the students and those around them very strongly.
You want to give them an idea that these are the things that we can do that will make a difference to us and to the climate. You know, yeah. Like things that will benefit them personally as well are also things that are good for the climate. And and that kind of positive messaging, without it kind of stops them from being as overwhelmed. So that's what we're trying to do. There's a recognition, I think, that students, young people, adults as well, have apathy towards climate change because it just feels like a vast problem. But then if you take it down to a local issue and say, well, if you reduce your amount of smoke that you're producing, then we can reduce the number of deaths from lung diseases by this amount in Ireland. You know, we can go from 1,200 per year down to 500 per year. And that's the kind of thing that We can all do that. So it's a local difference, and it's a noticeable difference. We did it with smoking. You know, you can do it.
But I suppose that's what the climate action part is, that they see that they can make changes that will make a bigger difference, and that they all get involved and they encourage other people to get involved. And having normal conversations about climate change and what we can do makes it, you know, makes it be more accepted and understood.
The other issue we have is just sifting through the vast amount of information that's out there, and just checking for bias, because unfortunately with the climate, it's very political and everyone has an agenda with it, whether it's you're in favor of preventing climate change or you've got some other agenda. And so it's trying to sift through that and remove the bias and get to the facts. And some of the things that they measure are really hard to quantify. So I've been looking at how much carbon is stored in different places. And it's really, really difficult to quantify that for the whole world. But like, we found that there's there's twice as much carbon stored in peatland and wetland than all the world's forests. But depending on the source you look at, that figure changes. You don't want to overwhelm students with lots and lots of figures. We need to make it as simple as possible and give them the source that we've used. And if they want to go and dig deeper, they can do that.
Yeah, we had a little module for it. We were doing two classes a week of it for, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks. So we kind of got a little introduction to it, the sort of work that we'd be doing in it.
Well, I'm interested in geography and stuff and the climate, so that's why I done it, to try and learn more about it and how we can be sustainable in the future.
It's a new subject, so it'd be nice to try it.
Choose our 4 subjects we have to do for Leaving Cert, and the climate action was my last choice to do. I say it would be a lot with like geography and the kind of science side of it, which I've always enjoyed science. Like, I say I'd enjoy the subject.
There's going to be a project in it, but I think a lot of like outside activities might be involved in it.
It seems like a fun subject, more like hands-on instead of lots of studying.
When you're doing like junior cert geography, you learn a little bit about like the climate, but it's like a big thing. It's not just something that you like skim over in a book, you know. And so it's good that there's like a full subject for it. Like.
I didn't pick it as a main subject. I put it in my 5th slot, I think.
I think I put it in my 4th slot or something, but yeah, it interests me.
We done a tester on the subject like last term, and that we were trying to see how we can get to Paris 2030, and that we had to look into all the case studies in like Kenya, and that I think we'd all learn from it and see what we can do to make our own change.
Yeah, I'll be doing it next year. There's a good teacher in it, you know, and when you have a good teacher, it's easier to learn. I suppose it has more options on the table if you do it, like, so I suppose you won't be stuck for a job.
It's good to educate people about it, so because it's like, you know, it's our planet that we're protecting, and it's good to have up-and-coming people who are going to be learning about it.
One of the other really interesting and appealing aspects of piloting the climate action and sustainable development subject here in Sligo is that the secondary schools are hoping to continue to work together as part of their engagement in the new curriculum.
Yeah, well, we've met the schools this year on 2 separate occasions, 2 or 3. We met through workshops with Self-Help Africa, and then we were involved in the Power to Change project in Sligo Town as well, through ATU. So I suppose that's kind of been stepping stones.
Like, one of their actual projects in this subject is to discuss topics on the course. So, you know, you'll have students from Summerhill and students from Sligo Grammar School meeting together to thrash out issues, and they'll have different perspectives, and it'll be, you know, that's brilliant. And
they enjoyed that this year, bringing them together for the Self-Help Africa workshops. You know, it has never happened before. The schools have come together on the rugby pitches, you know, but they've never come together to have a conversation about climate justice, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's nice to change
a positive thing.
Change the narrative from competing schools to, well, let's just work together on something, and, you know, there's no reason, you're all the same types of people, you know. It's just, it just makes so much sense that you have, if you have a town, that's not just one school advocating for one thing and then another school advocating for something different. Let's get all the students, like as parents, you know, how how persuasive your kids can be when they get a notion. So let's get them all kind of singing off the same hymn sheet and
looking for the same changes in town, perhaps, or something. You know,
yeah, what they want.
Set a target for something. Yeah. And the power to change. You know, it's been very good. Dr. Yvonne Lang worked a council meeting with students. It wasn't this academic year, it was the previous academic year, but they got to go and see how the chamber works and, you know, sit in on a council meeting, and then they got to give their voice on different things. It was about the climate action plan at the time for Sligo town. Or Sligo County, sorry. We'd feel very much supported by
a ATU. Huge support. Loads and loads of help from people in the SEAI.
People want this to happen because they want the students to be picking college courses that are, you know, creating the architects and the engineers and the flood management people that are going to help mitigate and some of the damages that are happening. They're clearly happening.
I mean, this is expertise that students need. They need to have a good grasp on it.
As Alan says, like it's in every career now. So a lot of parents see sustainability coming into wherever they are in the workforce, and they understand the importance of it.
Yeah, I expect it to grow fast. Mm. You know, I think it'll be a subject that'll be popular. You have a larger number, I think, from...
Yeah, I think it's about 30 of them across the two classes. It's exciting and scary, but yeah, no, it's good, it's good. I'm delighted, I'm absolutely delighted.
So we wish all three schools and their students the very best as they embark on that exciting new development. After all we've heard today, I don't think that there can be any doubt that empowering young people to engage with climate and sustainability in a positive way will be really good for all of us in the long run. Many thanks to all the schools and students who took part in the programme for presenting us with plenty of food for thought as we embrace a bright new sustainable future. Those of you past school-going age that are looking for further food for thought on sustainability might consider the Smart Towns and Villages event to be held in County Leitrim on the 13th of October, where the power of sustainable development as part of reimagining rural Ireland will be up for discussion. I'll be back with you for the next programme in the Irish to Protect series on the 28th of September. I hope that you all stay healthy, happy and green between now and then. Thank you.